First things first, I want to say thank you. Yeah, a lot of you do know me already and are getting to know my wife, Jamie. But I want to say thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak to you guys. And also personally, thank you for the love and support and encouragement you've given me over my life being raised here. You guys have supported me for all the other short-term trips I did to Haiti, the first one I took with Pam way back when, and that really kicked off my passion and love for missions, as well as supporting and encouraging me through college with the care packages I could always count on every year around Christmas time, as well as a little scholarship to go to a Christian college as well. Calvary has always been so generous, so giving and loving and encouraging, and even now as Jamie and I prepare to go to Brazil, we just want to thank you because it really does mean a lot. And I love you guys, and I felt that love from you guys over the years as well. So just wanted to say thank you. I sent the slide over to Steve, so I'm hoping that it worked because we haven't trialed this out yet. If the slides don't work, then I will just wing it. But either way, I also wanted to say I've kind of started coming down with something too on Friday, so if I have to stop and get some water, that is what that's all about. But for those of you who don't know about CMF, CMF stands for Christian Missionary Fellowship International. And it's an organization that I worked in their home office as a recruiter. Just making sure that came up. I worked in their home office as a recruiter for about 2.5 years before I transitioned out in order to apply with Jamie as a long-term missionary. Christian Missionary Fellowship, they're based out of Indianapolis, but they were started by college students from Manhattan Christian College in 1949, a little bit after World War II. And Jamie and I went to Manhattan Christian College, that's where we graduated from. And so there's a lot of connections and histories of how we grew to partner and work with them. I served with them in 2013 in Brazil for a 9-month internship, and Jamie served with CMF for a internship in Kenya in 2014. And so we have a deep love and connection with CMF, and this next step to be long-term missionaries in Brazil is just another part of our journey with them. And they, over the years, have worked in many, many different countries. Currently, they work in 25 different countries and have a little bit over 200 missionaries. And their whole mission is to be very holistic. Spiritual and physical needs is what they want to address. And they hope to, in every country they serve in, is to be able to give the responsibility over to the nationals that they're working with. It's never something they want the dependence to be on them, but for them to be able to transition out and move to another area or another country to do whatever the Lord is leading them to do. And so their real vision and mission statement is creating dynamic, Christ-centered communities that transform the world. And so kind of breaking that down is wanting to make sure that what ministries they're doing is very specific for the needs of that community. It's not so cookie cutter where they're just going to go and they're only going to help pass out Bibles, or they're only going to focus on clean water. They're going to ask the community, what are your needs? And then from there, that's what the ministry is going to be based off of. And they try to be as creative as possible and make sure that the community is involved in what is going to be done there, that they take ownership and responsibility from the very beginning, and that they use the resources that are there so that it can be more sustainable. And they're wanting to make sure that it is something that can be replicated and multiplied, and that will eventually transform that entire area or region that they're working in, and not just be specifically for that one area, but for the total community or city as a whole. I'm good, thank you. The church we're going to be partnering with, they go by CIBAPI. It stands for, in Portuguese, Segunda Igreja Baptista em Pianco, which is the Second Baptist Church in Pianco. And one of the reasons why they, things about this church is they have such a heart and love for the community, specifically with the youth in their community. And that's one of the things that Jamie and I really, really caught the vision of. And so the pastor, his name is Tarcisio. And in the picture, the going from left to right is his son, Fanuel, then it's Tarcisio, then it's his wife, Fatima, and then it's their daughter, Medium. And they do so much for their community and have such a heart for trying to change the unfortunate patterns and issues that are going on in their community. In this area of Brazil, it's the northeastern region, kind of considered their countryside. It's very desert-like. It's more like Arizona in comparison. And they go through a lot of droughts, and they have a lot of challenges that cause the region to kind of be exploited. A lot of the youth don't have that much education or literacy, and therefore become very easy targets for sex trafficking or prostitution. And their vision and mission is to give hope, give resources and tools like education, and help them to see that there's more to life, that they don't have to go into these types of situations in order to survive, but that one, and first and foremost, God loves them, and second, that there are so many other things that can help sustain them and their family other than getting wrapped up in sex trafficking, prostitution, or drugs. And so they started this church as well as a community center, which will be on the next slide. And one of the things that we really love about what they're doing is everyone is hands-on. In the picture you see with all those church members, that was when me and Jamie went to visit them last year for our vision trip and got to meet the church, and we got to ask them questions. They asked us questions just about what their heart is, what their passions are, and the same for us. And that's roughly about half the church in that photo, and all of them have a job or a responsibility and live it out. Some help with construction around the church, as a lot of the things that they're doing are new developments in that area. Others work with the youth as teachers, as karate instructors, as just helpers with their homework, meeting with the families, praying with them, or the cooks as well. They do whatever they can. They use whatever gift they have in order to impact their community and to love on them in the way that they believe God calls us to love on our neighbors. And it was just so inspirational and encouraging for me and Jamie when we went there that we couldn't help but to fall in love with them and want to be a part of the work that they're doing. We also were able to visit their after-school community center as well, and they named it Mission Agape, or Missão Agape is how you pronounce it in Portuguese, and it started off just to be a before and after-school program for the youth. So in the mornings, they have the younger children, I believe it's 14 and under, and then in the evenings they have the older children, 14 to 17. And it's meant to, again, give them a place that's safe and provide them with a meal as well as education and also spiritual development. And so they help them with homework. They do VBS type activities and events, as well as, again, helping make sure that they have a meal each and every day for some of them who don't have homes where that's something consistent. And they're hoping to do a lot more over the years. Something that they do are called CHE projects, which stands for Community Health Evangelism. And that's, again, going back to that holistic model of doing both spiritual and physical type work in the community. And so right now they do dental work, teaching dental hygiene and general hygiene as well, but with dental hygiene, they teach the kids how to properly take care of their teeth, as it's a little bit difficult to find that type of access in their area, a good dentist. So keeping up with your teeth is going to be good if it's a couple hours drive before you can get to a good dentist, as well as teaching them about agriculture or gardening. And right now they just got their first chicken and are hoping to get more chickens so that they can be able to distribute eggs throughout the community as well. And they also do work within the home, trying to help teach the parents how to parent well with biblical principles. And so they always try to do both their physical needs and spiritual needs through these CHE projects. They also are wanting to do different types of vocational trainings. So teaching kids how to cook, teaching kids how to be more trained with technology. So if you have IT skills, things like that, sewing. They are hoping to have teams come and visit them and help teach some of these types of vocational or trades in order to, again, give more opportunity for these kids instead of getting dragged into some of the sex trafficking or drugs. And they also want to do soccer outreach, and that's something that me and Jamie have a pretty big heart for. We've played soccer all of our lives, and that's something that can help draw kids into this community center and the church as well, and also teaching English, which will probably coincide with just teaching literacy with Portuguese as well, because the literacy rate is not very high in this area as well, because of some of the challenges that they have at home as well as in their area. This is a picture of one of their after-school classes with one of their teachers. All these kids have stories. All these kids have both amazing potential and some real challenges and heartbreaks. And being able to either partner with their church as a whole or even do child sponsorship would mean the world, would change not just their lives, but their futures and their community's future as well. And that's something that CMF does in this region is child sponsorship. And so I talked a little bit about the soccer outreach. So they have soccer every Saturday morning, and this helps, again, get the kids into a better environment and atmosphere. And it also helps build community, build relationship, build trust. And so it's something that me and Jamie are really excited to be able to be a part of. Right now, they only have boys that come and do this every Saturday, but they're hoping that Jamie can help rally up some of the girls in the community to do soccer or volleyball as well, and to kind of help this ministry grow, because there's so much desire and interest for soccer. If you don't know, Brazil's one of the biggest and most well-known countries for quality soccer players. And so all the kids love to play. It's just having people that can provide that space and that time on a more frequent basis to be able to reach some of these kids that otherwise would not come to the church because of their family either being very strong and devout Catholics or atheists or whatever hindrance having other means to reach out to them. Soccer is going to be one of the main ways we can bring them into the community center and help impact their lives. The other is teaching English, like I had mentioned. English is a very beneficial tool, not just to have a second language, but honestly, if you're able to know English, it's kind of a skill that's good for if you're going to go into business in Brazil. To be able to converse in English well can help double your salary no matter what career you're in. It's pretty amazing how just knowing English can make such an impact in their lives. And so us being able to start with the youth and hopefully even branch into their parents and the family as a whole with teaching English and providing that resource can really impact and change lives. And that's something that we're excited to be able to do since we were blessed to be able to be English speakers already. So it's, again, you don't have to be an expert at it, but just using what God's given you to be able to impact and affect lives. And I'm very thankful to come from a family of many, many teachers where teaching is kind of ingrained in me for my entire life. I think I tried to run away from being a teacher, and in one way or another, teaching just came up again and again, whether I'm teaching the Bible or now going to be teaching English. I can't run away from what God has already put in place. And so we're excited to be able to use again the gift that God's given us to help this community. And so I talked a little bit about the CHE projects. Again, they are supposed to be holistic, and you start off with going to the community, specifically trying to meet with the community leaders and ask them what their biggest needs are. And then from there, you start trying to brainstorm, okay, so what are some of the things that you think can help either alleviate or completely resolve those needs that you already have here? And it's so amazing how whatever the case is, usually the resources are there. It's just harder to see when you've already been born in it for so long. And so having an outsider's point of view, but at the same time, me and Jamie not being the ones who are, you know, directing everything and controlling everything, but helping them see how their needs can be met with what is already there, because we truly believe, based on scripture and also through the CHE principles, that God gives us everything that we need. He doesn't leave us without the resources in order to live and to survive, but it takes some creativity sometimes to be able to see that and utilize them to their best ability. And so, like I said, they are starting to raise chickens. Clean water is an issue in some areas as well. Nutritional things, making sure that malnourishment isn't an issue for some of the kids that have either single parent families or parents that aren't currently employed, because unemployment is a pretty big issue in this region of Brazil. And also trying to help them with discovering some other areas where what they need or are lacking are there. Just being more creative and trying to figure out how to best utilize them, and making sure, again, that it's sustainable, so that if for whatever reason, whether it's an emergency or a bigger need in another area, Jamie and I are to leave, that they'll be able to continue to facilitate it, and that it's not just going to end once we leave that area. That's a huge, huge thing with CHE, is to be self-sufficient by the nationals and not from outside resources as well. And so with everything that I kind of spoke about, one of the biggest things that I want to impress and encourage you guys with is this community is, again, in a region where there's a lot of drought, there's a lot of poverty. The sex trafficking industry is pretty big in this area. But these kids and the church have so much joy and so much passion to do God's work. And they, over just the past year, they started with 54 kids and now have 85 kids and have had over 14 baptisms as well between the church and this community outreach. And they continue to reach outside of their community as well. They're very big into partnerships with some of the neighboring towns as well. And they desire to have a lot of similar models in this area so that it's not, again, just them being able to be blessed and to grow and be healthy, but to see their entire region and then hopefully their entire country be one in love with Jesus, and then to be able to live full lives. One of the biggest passages that the pastor in this ministry likes to use is from Proverbs 22, verse 6. And it says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." This is his vision, is to take these children and grow them to know and love the Lord so that it will, one, stick with them and then transform not only them but their families and that region as a whole. And it's something that me and Jamie, working with the youth at our church in Indianapolis, or just honestly loving working with the youth and knowing that they have stories, they have so much potential, and that God loves them and cares for them. You can see throughout Scripture how much God cared for children. And one of my personal favorite passages comes from James 1:27, just talking about how religion that is pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and not to be polluted by the world. Just remembering that God cares for children. God cares for single parents, because it's not just single mothers. There's single fathers as well that have needs and that are struggling, and being able to help them in their distress and knowing that it's something that God honors and desires is a big passion and desire of Jamie and I's. And we're hoping that you guys will also be able to catch that dream, that vision, and want to be a part of that in one way or another, whether it's partnering with us or praying for the ministry or child sponsorship. Whatever God's putting on your heart, we ask that you be obedient to that. And it's not, you know, my place to tell you what that is, but we do just hope that you take time to ask God what it is that you could be a part of. Because you could also be someone who knows how to sew, who knows how to cook, or has materials that might be able to be used for them to be able to, again, impact and change a life. And so, again, I just implore you guys to ask God what he's leading you to, as well as in your own community here as well. So I thank you for giving me this time to share, and I will pray to close us out. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Christ and what he did for us on the cross, coming to die for our sins and allowing us to have a relationship with you, to have a new life, to not be seen by any of our past sins or failures, but to be able to live brand new, new creations, and to have the Holy Spirit to come and live in us and help us to accomplish your will, Lord. And I pray that through the gifts and abilities that you've given us and that come through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can honor and glorify you by the things that we say and do, and that we are able to see the world through your eyes and see our neighbors as our brothers and sisters, to see them as your children that you desire to have a relationship with, to bring back home. And I pray that for the ministry in Brazil that you've placed on Jamie and I's hearts, that we can continue to share their passion, their love for their community, and to find partners. And I thank you so much for Calvary for how they've partnered with us over the years, and pray that you continue to bless them and guide them as they pursue you and act in obedience to you, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, first of all, just to let you know, we aren't necessarily taking up a specific love offering for Jordan and Jamie right now, but please keep in mind and remember that our Little Italy dinner this upcoming weekend, all of the proceeds from that go to them. And so what I would encourage you to do, first of all, come this Saturday night, but also when you see some of Miss Christine's banana bread, feel free to bid $1, $5, $10, $100, $1,000 for a loaf of banana bread that you will thoroughly enjoy, but more importantly, knowing that it's not just to get some banana bread, that it's to go and support them. And man, maybe we could set a world record for most expensive banana bread ever sold. Even. It's kind of amazing, you know, earlier as part of the communion meditation, I love when God does this. Dave started off his communion meditation this morning with probably the most famous passage in Scripture, with John 3:16. And as I knew I was going to end up having this part with Steve being gone, like, that Scripture is what's been on my heart. That for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Our small group on Sunday nights, so this year we've done a lot of stuff from Andy Stanley. And one of the things that he says frequently is just a reminder to remember that everyone that you come face to face with, whether it's, you know, your friends or whether it's that person you'd rather punch in the face, everyone you come face to face with, God loves them. And God died, or sent his son to die for them. And the thing is, it's not just those that we come face to face with, but it's that key that God so loved the world. Not just God so loved my family. Not God so loved Calvary Christian Church, or God so loved the city of Rockford. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's why it's so important we support and we send people out. And we thank God for Jordan and the other missions that we support and other missionaries around the world, the others that CMF are supporting to spread the gospel. But one of the things I just want to encourage you, have you really let that sink in for your life? That God so loved you, that he died for you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter if you've had an affair. Doesn't matter if you have hate and anger in your heart. It doesn't matter if you're just fed up with everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done. God so loved you that he died for you, and he wants to change you. He wants to transform you to be more like him, to get rid of all of that stuff that has brought you down and has brought you maybe to the place that you are. We're going to be singing a song here in just a minute that focuses on that I surrender all. I surrender all of my past. I surrender everything that I've ever done, and I give it to you, God, because you so loved me. And you're ready, you're willing to get rid of it, and I surrender to you, to follow you, to worship you, to allow you to change and transform my life. Because when I've done it on my own, man, it's terrible. And I need you.